Welcome in 3HL on 104.5 The Zone. Happy Thursday to you, Dawn Davenport, here, not in the building, and Brent Doherty still off, but hey, that guy's here, Ron Slay.
I'm in the building.
Hey, I'm in the building.
I like it.
Yes.
Slay dog. How are you on this Thursday?
I'm good, Babsy. I'm rocking and rolling, man. Ready to get this thing cranked up, get it started. And guess what?
Huh? What?
Did you watch Hard Knocks last night?
No. So I'm so annoyed. So you know I had volleyball, which by the way.
Oh, yeah, that's right. How'd they go?
Yeah, we won. We made it to the championship game next week. And your girl can't walk now. I jacked up my knee. I went all in, you know, played like I was 20 years old again, and now I cannot walk, and I don't know what I did, and I think I might have to go get my knee checked. So let me ask you this. Before we jump into Hard Knocks, can you, like, have a torn ACL, but still be able to, like, walk and move on it?
Yeah.
What does that feel like? I'm scared that I tore my ACL and I like don't realize it.
Babs, that ain't good.
Every time I walk, it catches.
It's like a little click.
Yeah.
Guess what? It's probably the same thing you told me that it was wrong with my knee. You got something floating around.
Meniscus.
Yeah, you got something floating around in there. Exactly. Man, but guess what? People get rehab and not get the surgery. Yeah, people get rehab all the time and don't get the surgery right away and just, you know, get it back strong. So you could do that.
Well, I got championship. I know championships next week. So we'll deal with it after that.
Oh, you got to wrap it up. Yeah.
Yep. We got ice it and tape it and go. That's how we roll around here. That's just like the Titans did all season long. Wrap it up, tape it, visit IR and let's go.
Nobody wants to hear about your cries and your whys.
So speaking of the cries and the whys, fill me in. So all that to say, I had volleyball last night. I forgot to record Hard Knocks, so I missed it. And so I saw like kind of people tweeting about it and bits and pieces. It had to be like the highest viewership of Hard Knocks all season long. Unbelievable high ratings, I'm sure.
Everybody was watching. So I actually went into it thinking that, man, I want to hear what was it leading up to it. Honestly, Babs, I think they talked their way up on this loss. I think they actually talked their way up on the loss. Like, all you kept hearing from the coaches was, don't take this game lightly. Man, if we don't punch, they're going to punch us back and we're going to be knocked out. Like, we could really go down there and lose this game. We ain't won since whatever it was, 2008, 2000, whatever, 14, whatever it is.
14.
Like, yeah, they like, man, I'm telling you, if we don't take this team serious, we will go down there and we will lose. Like, I'm like, dude, why are y'all having this type of conversation? And then everything was like, let's get back to the basics. Let's get back to our fundamentals. Yeah, and we'll win. I'm telling you, if we get to the basics and the fundamentals, we'll win. Man, they went down there and got routed. And during the game, everybody was saying, dude, what are we doing, man? Come on, y'all. We got to play. We got to make plays. We got to do this. We got to do that. They were out of it. I think that Raiders game really knocked the spunk out of them losing at home like that. So, God. And then at the end, Babs, when they had his speech, Frank Reich had his speech, it was kind of like, dude, why are you up here talking? Like, it's over with.
That's what I'm saying. I guarantee you. Coach wouldn't have been given that speech if the Hard Knock cameras weren't sitting right there, right? There's no way in hell, because I saw bits and pieces of that speech that people like put out, and there's no way he delivers it like that.
Yeah.
At the end, right?
Nah.
Could you imagine Mike Vrabel in that? Like, I mean, you know, we like to go hypothetical around here. Actually, no, we don't. You know, I freaking hate hypothetical, but whatever. Could you imagine Mike Vrabel after that scenario, and if that was his team that did what the Colts did? There is no way in HE double hockey stick that Mike Vrabel would have delivered a speech like that.
No, y'all sucked. And that's what I'm thinking. Like, if the calendars wasn't around, I mean, the cameras. If the cameras wasn't around, I think the players would have looked at him like, "No, coach, man, we tricked this off. Like, it ain't no we climbing up the mountain. This part of the journey. It's a, he said, it's a, you know, from now on, guys, we're gonna have a scab, and we're gonna have a wound on our soul for the rest of our NFL playing and coaching lives.
Wow.
And one day you're gonna be able to look at that wound and say, I remember that. But we gotta keep on track." I'm like, dude, hey man, get me out of here, man. When the players walked out, it was only a couple of them that went up to him and dapped him up. And they, man, they were like, nah, this over with, man. It was over. And the funny thing, Babs, like I was growing to like guys like what's the linebacker name? Man, the headhunter.
Darius Leonard.
Darius Leonard. Like, I love him, the passion and everything.
Did you watch it? You watched the whole season, didn't
so
you?
So I watched
you
the last
and,
three.
You and Hunk.
Yeah, okay. I watched the last three. I started picking up on it. Like, man, let me check this out. But there, man, I was loving him. But after that, it was nothing in my body that I could pull back and say, hey, man, this is hilarious. I love how these people quivering and can't, like, this season is over. Like, all the Pro Bowls, all the MVP talk, all that is over. You could just see it on their faces. Like, man, that was beautiful. As a Titans fan, that was beautiful. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I'm sad I missed it, but there's been some good feedback from Titans fans. That's for sure. All right. So what do we have today? We have Greg Cosell coming up, which is awesome. So we'll kind of get into breakdown that Texans game, maybe get Cosell's, I don't know, take on some of the games this weekend, what the tape shows on who could be possible Titans opponents. Now, you want to talk about hypotheticals. You know that is the last thing Greg Cosell
deals
in. He is, show me the tape. I'll tell you what it says and what it shows, and that's the end of our conversation. But we'll push him kind of on maybe just in watching the tape, what is the best matchup for the Titans in their first playoff game as we watch kind of all of those games this weekend. So that's at what, 4:15, I think, 4:20. Yep. So Cosell at 4:15, 4:20. You heard the news from Hunk earlier, David Culley let go by the Houston Texans. I really thought he was going to make it. I thought he was going to make the cut there, and that they, especially for what he did, that team, I'm sorry, but I think it's saying a lot. What he walked into with that Schiano show of a roster and everything that was going on there with what they gave him and said, hey, here's your roster. Here you go. Enjoy. Like, that team was still freaking playing at the end of the year. That team didn't give up in the last game of the season that meant absolutely nothing against the Titans. And that team came out and still played. Now come fourth quarter, the Titans kind of squashed them and finished them off. But that wasn't a team that gave up at all or gave in. That's a testament to David Culley and what he was able to establish in his time there with just a mess of a roster.
Yeah, without question. Like, that's the same team to beat the Chargers, like, and pounding them. So you look at him, and he was also a guy, man, if you look at changing the culture in the locker room when it was in disarray, like, that's honestly how we got Zach Cunningham. Like, him putting his foot down and saying, hey, man, this is the way we're going to do things. You ain't with it. You got to roll, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So thank you for doing that, David Culley. But, I mean,
that's a nice little addition for the Titans. We'll take that parting gift.
Yeah. So. But, yeah, man, problem. I'm surprised, too. And they fired the OC as well, so. It's interesting to see what they're going to make happen down there in Houston.
Man, I look at some of the jobs that are open in the NFL, and I know it's the NFL. Mm-hmm. But God, if I'm looking for my first head coaching gig in the NFL, man, I don't know if I want it to be some of these jobs. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I know there's not a lot of them, and your opportunities certainly don't come often. But good Lord, some of them are an absolute debacle and a mess, and I don't know if I would want to step in there. And here's the deal: at the end of the day, you are a successful NFL team if you have a successful quarterback.
Right.
Period. It is what it is. The game is your success is contingent upon your quarterback, if you have a good quarterback or not. And you can talk about all the weapons around and the offensive line and all of that, but if you have a garbage quarterback, you're gonna have a garbage team. Mm-hmm. And that's the end of it. So that leads us to, of course, the Ryan Tannehill conversation, which, like, we talked about yesterday.
Yes.
You know, we brought up a bunch of Tannehill, and you feel good with where he is right now, him talking about he never lost his mojo, all of that. We've talked all season long about the disrespect that people kind of lay on Ryan Tannehill's name, and almost people still just remember him in his days in Miami and don't realize what he is truly capable of now, that's capable of with people around him, with talent mm-hmm. around him. And we addressed that yesterday too. So it's interesting. Hunk sent us this, and I actually gave stats yesterday from Seth Walder, who works for ESPN in their analytics department. And, you know, I talked about how much ESPN puts into analytics, and they hire just strictly number data people and, mm-hmm. and pay attention to it. But they put out an article ranking the NFL playoff quarterbacks, strengths, weaknesses, what is at stake for all 14 quarterbacks in the field for 2021 for these playoffs. And it's interesting. So we're going to jump into that list.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about where Ryan Tannehill is on that list. Now mm-hmm. they went like stats, rankings, total QBR is what they went to. But after the break, we'll explain exactly what they pulled from and where Ryan Tannehill is on that list. Mm-hmm. It's interesting.
Kind of it is
for our conversation, doesn't it? And this is all data.
Yeah, and we want the listeners to even weigh in on this. Like, if you think you know where Tannehill is, hit us up on the YouTube, on Facebook, Twitter, Twitch.
Oh, yeah. We're on all those. Twitch, please.
Yeah, there you go. So
615-737-1045 is the phone number. Jump in. Hunk will put you on hold. Get ready. We'll introduce kind of this list and go through what they use to rank these quarterbacks. I will say this. Seth Walder put in his piece, we are considering these quarterbacks in a vacuum. So you mm-hmm. do not take into account what wide receiver they have, what running back they have, none of that. This is quarterback in a vacuum. We're assuming that every single one of their weapons is equal.
Right.
That's what this list is. That's coming up next right here on 3HL 104.5 The Zone. Stick around. Welcome back in 3HL on 104.5 The Zone. Dawn Davenport alongside Ron Slay.
Yes.
Yes. And Joe Hunk is behind the glass for us, making everything run. Brent Doherty still on IR, still no voice. You know how that goes. This happens at least once a year for our guy. Mm-hmm. And so we are holding it down here this week. Although I will say, Titans have a bye. It's a good week for him to be on IR, get healthy, come on back. Here we go. This is exactly what the Titans are doing. Some light work today, I think, was their schedule. Mm-hmm. And I heard Teresa Walker talking earlier with Blaine and Mickey about Derrick Henry, talking about how he looks like he's moving just a little bit faster this week than maybe he was last week. And it made me think about what Roger Saffold told us on Tuesday when we asked about just Derrick Henry and Derrick Henry's process mm-hmm. and kind of progress. And he said, you know, we clearly, you don't want to push him to get ready or hop in faster than, you know, his foot allows or than mm-hmm. his body allows. So you want to be careful. And that kind of stood out to me, especially then you hear Teresa Walker talking about how he looks like he's a little bit faster this week, like easing him back in, right?
Yep.
As they get ready and get healthy this week and find out who their opponent is going to be. So,
and you know what, Babs, before we go further into the quarterbacks and just speaking on Derrick Henry, one thing also about this injury, you know this, Babs, like when you're sitting out with injuries, you get a different perspective of what's exactly going on in the game. Like, I always speak from this perspective when I'm talking about being a sixth man, which I was a lot in my career. And I loved it, relished in it, because you get to watch the game and see exactly what the game is missing and what you can bring to it, what you can. And then when you watch film, you watch and say, man, I could have did this different when I came into the game. So now you remove him from a team that's still winning and was able to plug and go. And he look at it and think, this is already a machine, first of all, in Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. Now he's looking at the game as, man, what if I took this step instead of that step? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, he just get to dissect himself over like, and over. Like,
hit me on that a little bit, because that's an interesting point you bring up, because you think uh-huh. Derrick Henry and you think that position and you think like that guy, you know, is next level, like right. sitting back and watching right. and taking in the game on the side. Like that's not going to help him. But you forget how important that is when it doesn't happen often, because you look back at Derrick Henry in college and he was able to do that because he always split mm-hmm. carries at Alabama, right? Yep,
exactly.
So you're able to kind of watch and let it all sink in, you know, obviously kind of a different story, different feel in the NFL. So that's a great point you bring up too, that sometimes it gives you a chance and some time to digest right. your profession and how you do things even a little bit more. So that's interesting. I mean, because you've battled some injuries in your career.
Yeah, without question. And that's what worries you about guys that have reached a certain point in their playing career. And they're always like, man, I need another challenge. Yeah. But they never get the opportunity to step back from it and still have their peak condition and everything. They step back from the game and watch it. Like when Michael Jordan left, you know what I'm saying? He was able to step back from the game and think, now his body did change. Derrick Henry not necessarily going to change right now. But he was able to look at the game and see, I guarantee when he watched the game, he was like, oh man, these boys, I can do this without doing two dribbles. Like, I can score without two dribbles. That's why when he came back, his game was all the way changed. So, Derrick Henry, we heard Saffo talk about instincts.
Yep.
And instincts being able to take over. So, imagine those instincts when he's been playing for 2 years at the highest of the high, running people over, bruising them. He's never really been able to dissect this game, what he's been missing, because it's working. Like, yeah. This is the time when you get to play tricks with your mind and you get to challenge yourself when you're away from the game and you know it's something that you can get back to. So now when he coming in, man, it's quicker. Maybe that's why he looks like, you heard Blaine talking about it. He looks leaner now. Maybe that's why he looks leaner. Maybe he was like, man, if I lose a little bit more, then maybe I can have a different type of burst, a different step here. Instinctively, if I go to the line, I guarantee he's watched a ton of film along with watching the Titans. And I wouldn't be surprised if he went back and started watching other running backs that had success. You know what I'm saying? Like big backs, like when Saffo was talking about Steven Jackson and Eric Dickerson and Jim Brown. Like, I know this may be extreme, but man, people at that level, they do extreme things and they do things outside of the box to kind of keep that fire lit. So
yeah,
this guy could be different coming back, man. I promise.
Woo-hoo.
That's what we need. That's what we need.
All right. Hey, let's switch to the quarterback conversation now. Mm-hmm. And we talked a lot about Ryan Tannehill yesterday and actually, I mean, all season about the disrespect and all of this. So if you want to go ahead and get in on the line, 615-737-1045. We are talking quarterbacks, and Seth Walder at ESPN wrote a piece and took the 14 quarterbacks and basically rank them heading into the playoffs, like what, you know, 1 through 14, and what was most important or what this run kind of means for each of them. And just to point out, I said it before the break, but he's considering these quarterbacks in a vacuum. So they all have the same opponent. They all have the same weapons, blah, blah, blah. Right.
Yep.
Total QBR, which is, this is what factors into his, along with judgment, but what factors into what he utilized to rank these quarterbacks, and total QBR, which is ESPN's expected points added based rate stat, which evaluates efficiency, and it does it with completion percentage and completion percentage over expectation. And I could go on, and you don't really care, but you get my point, right? There's a whole lot of words and blah, yada, yada, yada that goes into what he utilized stats wise for these 14 quarterbacks. So I thought about it. We were talking right before the show, Slay, and I said, okay, there's 14 quarterbacks in the playoffs. So I'm like going in my head, you know, I'm going over the 14 quarterbacks. So just to go ahead and tell everybody where Ryan Tannehill is ranked on this list, ninth. Ninth out of the 14 playoff quarterbacks. So I started thinking about him, and I'm like, hold on. Would you, I mean, so let's get the obvious ones out, right?
Yep.
Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
Right? I mean, that's obvious. Okay.
And in the ranking, those are 1, 2, and 3. Pat Mahomes, Tom Brady 2, A-Rod 3.
Boom. Wait, who's 1?
Pat Mahomes.
Yes.
That's a shocker to me.
That was surprising to me, but it doesn't, like, youth doesn't play into this because he's strictly using numbers and stats, QBR, efficiency, completion percent, all of that. So the age thing does not factor into this at all. No. So that surprised me.
Ahead of two MVPs.
Over Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. Like,
big time. Oof. So, by the way, we'll go through each of these and see what he put. But all of that to say, 1, 2, and 3, extremely obvious. And then I just started thinking about it, and I'm like, I'm not sure that I could come up with 6 other quarterbacks that I would think would rank higher and be in a better position than Ryan Tannehill. Of all the playoff teams, could you?
Nah, I'm gonna be real. No. Especially after seeing them play this year. No. And going into the playoffs. No, I could not.
So I'm going to go through. So maybe people are trying to rack their brain and remember every single playoff team, right? So I'm going to go through AFC playoff teams, NFC playoff teams. Obviously, AFC, number one, Titans, number one seed. Bye. And then it's Chiefs, Bills, Bengals, Raiders, Pats, Steelers. NFC side, Packers, 1, Bucks 2. Those are 2 of your top 3 quarterbacks on the list, right? Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. Cowboys 3, Rams 4, Arizona, the Cards 5, Niners 6, Eagles 7.
Yep.
In those lists, besides Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes, maybe Bengals, maybe Burrow, who stands out?
And
that is 6. I'm sorry. Name 6 that stand out more than Ryan Tannehill.
That's tough. Especially what everybody has to keep in mind. Bab said this is if all their pieces are right. So you got to keep that in mind. I cannot see. This is me. Joe Burrow, I understand.
Is that who's 4?
The actual list?
Yeah.
Actual list, Josh Allen is 4.
Okay.
Josh Allen is 4, people. And with that, a lot of that, his strength is his rushing. That's how dangerous he is with the legs. That's what they're going to roll with. Now, number 5 is Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
I'm okay with them too. I'm okay with both of them, actually.
Yeah.
Especially everything.
I mean, healthy. I had to think about it. And part of that is, you know, name, team. And right. Part of that is it's real hard to evaluate a quarterback outside of their weapons. That's just hard to do because it makes such a difference. And that is very obvious with Ryan Tannehill. It's less obvious with guys like Rodgers and Brady and Mahomes. Mm-hmm. So I get it.
Okay. Now 6. 6 would be Kyler Murray. Now, in the beginning of the season, Kyler Murray was an MVP candidate and a strong MVP candidate. Let's see, accuracy on his deep ball, accuracy and deep ball efficiency. His arm, as opposed to his rushing or scrambling, that did most of the damage this season. He threw deep often, 15% of the time, third most in the league. Simultaneously recorded the highest QBR on 20-plus air yard passes in the league. So he showed off his accuracy, and he used his legs. So that's where you get him at six. Now, this right here is what – do you agree with six, though?
Okay.
It sounds like you got a little pushback.
Okay.
Okay.
You know how I, whatever. I'm not gonna necessarily come at you about six, but okay.
Okay. All right. Seven.
But there's two others that are ahead of Ryan Tannehill.
So seven and eight, I think, is where the problem lies. Seven would be Dak Prescott. Dak is at seven. And you know what? I wouldn't have pushback on this if I didn't watch the Cowboys.
But since you watched a lot, right?
Yeah, since I watched the Cowboys and I watched them not be able to get it done, it seemed like to me Dak reverted back to like he was in the past before the ankle injury, putting up yards because they were coming from behind until the defense just came and just started playing phenomenal. And then he still, like, the defense still had to bail him out of games.
Yeah.
And I guess you can kind of say the same for Tannehill, but he didn't have his weapons. So this is with all the weapons involved, and Dak had his weapons and was still having to be bailed out, which I don't like. So,
I mean, I get you. You're coming back from a tough injury too. Like you have to put that in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to put that in perspective too.
Yeah. And that's fine.
QBR was 54.9.
Yeah. A step back from his last season where he was running 71.9. Like that's exactly. So
Just go to eight because eight annoys.
Just the one to get you, huh? Matthew Stafford is coming in at eight and standing strong at eight. What you think about that? He subbed in for Goff.
So
is it a difference in this team?
Well, here's the deal. So what he says, talking about the season or whatever, that Matthew Stafford through week eight was tops in QBR, right? Number one QBR in the league. Well, guess what? The season doesn't end at week eight.
Right.
It doesn't. And this is a list for this season, right?
Yep.
I mean, it was a debacle from week nine through week 17.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and it was for him too. He ended the year tied for the league lead in interceptions.
That ain't good.
Because what do we talk about with Ryan Tannehill? Those couple of games where he didn't give his team a chance to win because he turned the ball over. So you're putting Matthew Stafford, who tied for the league lead in interceptions with Trevor Lawrence, by the way, Trevor Lawrence, like the two-win Jag team, he tied with that guy, the rookie, in interceptions. And mind you, we're taking out who's around them, right? This is a vacuum. This is in a vacuum of evaluating these quarterbacks. And he led the league or tied for the league lead in interceptions, but you're going to put him above Ryan Tannehill in the playoff quarterback rankings. I think that that's disrespectful. I don't agree with it. And this is what I read with Walder's strengths for Matthew Stafford. Production when the offense goes as planned.
That's anybody,
well, no, right? Shiano, Sherlock, every quarterback should have production when the offense goes as planned. Who else has production when the offense goes in play as planned? Ryan Tannehill.
Exactly.
He's got production when everything goes as planned.
And that's an actual fact, like for sure.
Stafford ranked second in QBR when he wasn't pressured. Great. Guess what happens when you're in the NFL? You get pressure.
He wanted to play 7-on-7, maybe. Maybe that's
come on. And hey, if you want to take Ryan Tannehill's numbers away when he's pressured, I bet he's the best damn quarterback in the league.
Right. Right.
I mean, come on. So I got an issue with that one. I have an issue with.
I liked it. I liked it. And I think if he lived up to expectations, I think this is totally different and this conversation isn't being had. But what he's done and what we're taking, I don't agree with it either. I don't agree with it either. Not when everybody's healthy. Mm-mm.
We have to take a break, but we want your take on this list. Ryan Tannehill, 9th on the quarterback playoff quarterback ranking list. I'm like all... I'm hot and bothered.
He fired up on this
Stafford. I know. And we will read what they said about Ryan Tannehill and why he is 9th on that list coming up after the break. But if you want to offer your opinion, what do you think? We'll also tell you who is after Ryan Tannehill on this list as well. 615-737-1045. Jump in the conversation. Hit us on Twitter at 3HL1045. Come see us on Zone TV, Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, all of those things.
Twitch, please.
Yes, thank you. And we'll be back right after this break. Stick around. Matthew Stafford. Welcome back in 3HL on 104.5 The Zone. Glad you are with us. Dawn Davenport, Ron Slay, Brent Doherty is off, still on the IR, and we are talking NFL football and quarterbacks. I mean, what else would you be talking about on a Thursday leading into the postseason? That's right. We want your take on it. We just went through ESPN's list of the 14 quarterbacks in the postseason. Ranked, and 1 through 8 did not include the Titans, the number one seed in the AFC, didn't include their quarterback. Ryan Tannehill sitting at number 9. We've got some callers on the line. 615-737-1045. Get to you guys in 1 second. But before we do that, I wanted to read what was said about Ryan Tannehill. By the way, the quarterbacks after Tannehill, let me just go down that garbage list real quick. Starting at 10, Derek Carr, Jimmy G, Mac Jones, Jalen Hurts, and 50-year-old Ben Roethlisberger. There you go. Those are the only quarterbacks ranked after Ryan Tannehill on this list. So, goodness. Okay, so... Ryan Tannehill, let's hit strengths, okay? Mm-hmm. We'll hit strengths, and then we'll tell you what they put for weaknesses for Tannehill, okay? So strengths, running. Tannehill carried the ball 55 times for 270 yards and 7 touchdowns. That's it. But he was wildly efficient when he did run. Generated the 3rd most EPA among quarterbacks running the ball and ranked 1st among signal callers in EPA per rush. I'd be remiss if I didn't also mention his play action passing, though. Yeah, kind of a big key to what the Titans do. He ranked 2nd in QBR on those plays since 2019, but was only 6th this season. Still pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. Okay, here you go. Weaknesses. Sacks.
Now, see. Yeah.
You heard me. You heard me correct.
But you know what, Babs? The only thing about that is this is if everything is intact for him.
Right.
When the offensive line is intact, they don't give up sacks like that on Tannehill, do they?
2 weeks ago was the first time they had this full, healthy offensive line intact.
Exactly.
2 weeks ago.
Exactly. So
First time all year.
I don't like
it. It's been a revolving door. He goes on to say Tannehill's sack rate has long plagued him, and the 8% sack rate he posted this season is right around his career average. In total, that's because he had garbage lines at the Dolphins for years.
Right.
28% of pressures against him turned into sacks, the 6th highest rate in the league. You could argue that maybe Tannehill should have gotten rid of the ball sometimes.
Yeah.
A little bit faster. You can argue that part of that was on his offensive line, but you could also argue that a large portion of that was, I think he was hoping that somebody would get open and nobody did because he didn't have his key guys, right? So you could also, I think, put that into the argument. And you could argue that there were some poor decisions made because I think he was hoping and hoping and hoping that somebody
gonna be open.
Could get open, right?
Yeah.
So I just don't think that's enough to bump him to ninth out of 14.
No, I'm gonna have to go back and look at Stafford too, because I'm Stafford and Dak, because I'm pretty sure them boys get sacked quite a bit.
But, yeah. All right. Do you want to jump in the conversation? 615-737-1045. Hey, Honk, we are going to start with George. George on a cell. Hey, George, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. So I've been thinking about this a lot, especially with like the talk about the MVP of the league. And I'm not a fan of any of these guys, but there's nobody in the game, if it's a level playing field, it's on the same level as Tom Brady. And I don't think Aaron Rodgers should have got MVP last year, and I don't think he should get it this year, because if you go by stats, Brady's got him beat in every stat except for percentage completion this year, and he's 6 years older. But the way I got him ranked is I got Tom Brady at number one, I got Aaron Rodgers at number two, I got Patrick Mahomes at number three. I got Matthew Stafford at number four. I got Kyler Murray at number five. And I got Tannehill at six. And I stopped ranking them after that. And that's if you put them on a level playing field. They have the same offensive line. They got the same wide receivers. They got the same running back. They're on the same team. You just just replace the quarterback in there. That's the way I rank them. And I don't think there's really much argument for that.
So you don't think Josh Allen and Joe Burrow are like some guys that should be up there with the same playing field? Would it equal?
I don't think they'd be above Tannehill. No, I don't.
I like that.
Now, Joe Burrow throws a pretty long ball, but how much of that is the wide receiver? What did he do last year? We're talking about a level playing field. He don't have Chase over there running the routes that they ran back in college. You know what I'm saying? That's a quarterback wide receiver thing. He didn't put up those kind of numbers last year. Tom Brady has done that year in, year out. His whole career, didn't matter if you knew who the wide receivers were, if you knew who the line was, if you knew who the running back, it didn't matter. You could plug anybody in there. And he almost led the league every year that he's been a quarterback. So that's why I put him at number one. Aaron Rodgers, you could pretty much say the same thing about him at number two. Doesn't really matter who the wide receiver was.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
Yeah. All right. Good stuff.
We have to revisit that, though.
We will. I just want to just, if you're talking QBR, by the way, I just want to point out Aaron Rodgers is actually higher than Tom Brady's. Mm-hmm. But I don't disagree with you on if you have all the same weapons. And honestly, I think the Brady, the Rodgers, the Mahomes are all interchangeable. I think those three are interchangeable at this point in what they do for a team and their careers. I think all three of those are, I think you can make a valid and legit argument for any of those guys to be ranked number one at this point.
Agreed.
And go up and down and people would agree with you and disagree. And I think it would be legit.
I agree. So, agreed.
Yeah. All right. More calls coming up here in our 4 o'clock hour. We got one more segment before Greg Cosell hops on. So jump in 615-737-1045. If you are on hold, we'll get to you here at the top of the hour before we jump on with Greg Cosell. This is 3HL on 104.5 The Zone.